So now keep this tripartite structure in mind. I've reproduced it for you in the accompanying course guide, so you can actually look at it. Keep this tripartite structure of ability to speak, realized ability to speak, and actually speaking in mind. Aristotle means now, when he says that the soul is the first actuality, that the soul is the intermediate mode of activity, like the ability to speak French when someone is silent. The body, then, is like the ability to speak that the infant has. The soul is the ability to speak that's realized. And the full activity, what is the full activity? The full activity is living. Now, of course, there's something different going on here, which is the fact that there's no way, so to speak, to be silent with respect to living. That is, this conceptual distinction between the soul and actual living is just that, a conceptual distinction. But the distinction still is held, Aristotle thinks, in order for us to understand the nature of the soul. And we'll see why this is the case when we realize that this scheme of body, soul, living is only the global version of a scheme that Aristotle has in mind as giving a general account of all the psychic powers and their activities. That is, a general account of the activities that distinguish living beings, the powers and activities that Aristotle discusses early in the second book of the Dianemon. We can begin specifically by looking at one of these general classes of powers, and it's kind of interesting, the one that Aristotle begins with, because Aristotle begins his discussion of the Dianema, the treatise on the soul, with an account of food. And the reason for this will be clear in just a minute, because one of the central capacities that are exhibited in animal life, one of the central capacities is the capacity for nutrition, right? So that the nutritive capacity, that is, in general, the ability that's involved in taking food in and making it into oneself, which is exact analog of perceiving, in which one takes the world in and understands it, is one of the central psychic capacities that the animal has. So we can understand now this tripartite structure exactly with respect to this very sort of down-to-earth psychic capacity, the nutritive system, the nutritive faculty, that we have the nutritive system, the nutritive faculty, and then eating, right? The nutritive system is the digestive structure of the animal life, intestines, stomach, all that stuff. The nutritive faculty is the power that these things have, understood as a capacity or faculty or power to do something, and the thing that it's doing is eating. I don't mean just taking food in, but doing everything that's involved in eating. The fourth thing that Aristotle adds to that is the object of the capacity, food. All right, keeping that in mind, that is to say, keeping in mind, and you'll see this diagram also in the course guide, keeping in mind that we now have not just a three-part structure, but a four-part structure that includes organ, faculty, activity, and object, we're now ready to think about what Aristotle has to say about that psychic activity upon which he spends the most time in the Dianema, namely perception, consciousness. The general picture of perception that emerges from this is fairly straightforward. Think of the eye as the organ, what Aristotle calls the aestheterion, the sensorium, the sense organ. Sight as the aesthesis, the perceptual faculty, the capacity. Seeing as the full activity of that organ understood as an embodied faculty. And the seen, the object of sight, as the object which the sightful eye enables the organism to see. And in general, ear, hearing, the capacity of hearing, the activity of hearing and the heard, the nose, the capacity of smell, the olfactory power, smelling and odor, mind, and perhaps its organ, if we think that there is such a thing, Aristotle doesn't, and thinking and thought. The general picture of perception that emerges is straightforward in these cases. The sense or the perceptual capacity is the power which the organism has by virtue of having an organ with a power, the power to receive the sensible form of that which is perceived. Subject and object are linked in a perceptual chain, which I've also reproduced a version of for you in the course guide, in which the eye, on the one end, has the power to see, which is realized in seeing,